Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Resources. I call this committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:30 p.m. on Monday, January 24th, 2022. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum present today. Our Senator Stevens, Senator Kawasaki, Senator Keel, myself, Senator Rivak, Senator Machicki, Senator Bishop, Senator Von Imhoff are conducting other business and will join us as soon as they are available. Staffing the committee today is my aide, Inti Mayo Harbison, LIO moderator, Nate Williams, and Juliana from Records. Thank you for your service. At this time, please silence or turn off your cell phones. On today's agenda, we have SJR 11, supporting development of the Road Belt Electrical Transmission Line and urging members of the Alaska delegation in Congress to pursue the development of this high voltage electrical line in the interior of the state. Please let the record reflect that we've been joined by Senator Bishop. This is the first hearing of this resolution in the committee. There was a similar resolution heard during previous legislatures, garnered enough interest and attention from local communities and stakeholders that we've decided to explore the merits of the project again. And while I support the right of all Alaskans to have reliable power, I think it's important to acknowledge the work done by local communities and organizations who have studied the feasibility of such a project. Would also like to say that if this resolution is not ultimately the direction this committee wishes to go, through exploring this, we'll find find alternatives and make it better. I'm interested in exploring all viable options to meet the resource needs of the people of Alaska, and that includes reliable power. It is my intention to hear this resolution today. We'll take invited and public testimony. I would like to give members time to review the materials and research before bringing the resolution back before committee. This will also give us an opportunity to submit and get answers to any questions we might have. So we'll bring this bill up at a later date. With that, we will jump into Senate Joint Resolution 11. Presenting the resolution today is my staff, Inti Harbison. Inti, could you please come forward, put yourself on the record, and walk us through this resolution?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Inti Mayo Harbison, staff to Senator Rivak and Senate Resources Committee aide. Before you today is Senate Joint Resolution 11, supporting development of the Road Belt Electrical Transmission Line and urging members of the Alaska delegation in Congress to pursue the development of this high voltage electrical line in the interior of the state. As the chairman said, this is not the first time that the legislature has looked at this issue. Alaska has explored some form of the road belt intertie in both the 1980s and again in the 1990s. Most recently, members of this committee may remember a similar resolution passing during the 31st legislature under House Joint Resolution 10, sponsored by the former representative from District 6. Due to the influx of federal infrastructure spending, Alaska could be in a unique position to improve our electrical grid across the state. If the legislature can direct the attention of federal agencies to viable infrastructure projects here in Alaska, we could help to improve the chances of those projects being successful. Now, nearly 3 years after the legislature last looked at the Road Belt Intertie Project, this resolution urges our federal delegation to again consider the viability of such a project in today's market and to explore the most effective and efficient method to provide reliable power to the people and communities along the road belt. The development of the Road Belt Electrical Intertie Transmission Line would create a high voltage electrical line running from Sutton to Glen Allen, where a sub-transmission line would then extend to Gakona and on to Tope, and north through the Upper Tanana region to Delta Junction. The final leg of the project would run from just south of Fort Greely back down to Gakona. This resolution supports infrastructure development for energy and national security, economic development, and natural resources in the state of Alaska. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline would benefit from the low-cost energy provided by the transmission line in the operation of the pipeline and protection of its off-grid pump stations. A high-voltage electrical line would complete an electrical transmission bus loop and establish a second path for power transmission from Anchorage to Fairbanks, which is needed during disasters such as earthquakes. With the infrastructure development and the increase in population at Eielson Air Force Base, Fort Greely, and the Clear Air Force Station, the need for power in the region will increase significantly. This resolution urges Congress to advocate for the security of the nation's northmost military installations and oil infrastructure by pursuing the development of the Road Belt Intertie. Mr. Chairman, that is a basic overview of Senate Joint Resolution 11. If there are any questions from the committee, I will do my best to answer or to direct the committee's questions to relevant stakeholders and subject experts in order to get the most accurate and up-to-date information. Thank you.
Thank you, NT. Do we have questions from members of the committee? Yes, Senator Stevens.
Just a comment. Chairman, I'd like to see a map that I can really read. It's hard to tell what is proposed and what is existing. So maybe a little development of that map.
Yes, Senator Stevens, we will produce that. Questions? Senator Kawasaki.
Did I make clear that you were gonna hold the bill over?
Yes.
Okay. Just a technical issue then, a question. The technical is that when this was drafted, there was an acting Secretary of Interior, and now there's a current Secretary of Interior. And then my question is regarding the, you know, what anticipation do we have for ratepayers who are currently in the road belt system served by this versus the, I mean, is there going to be an increase or anticipated increase in charges to the folks that live, say, in my neck of the woods in Delta and the Fairbanks region?
Through the chair, Senator Kawasaki, I believe that there are some invited testifiers who might be able to speak to your question, and I would wait until they are on the line at a later time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any others before we get into invited testimony? Okay. All right. Thank you, NT. We're going to move on to invited testimony. Today we have three. Crystal Enquist, the Executive Director of the APA, the Alaska Power Association. Travis Million, the CEO of Copper Valley Electric Association. And Curtis Thayer, the Executive Director of the AEA, or Alaska Energy Authority. And we're going to... First, we'll hear from the Alaska Power Association. We have Executive Director Crystal Enquist. Crystal, thank you for being here today. Is Crystal online?
I'm here.
Okay, perfect. Hey, Crystal, if you could put yourself on the record and begin, please.
Sure. Thank you very much, Senator Rivak. Good afternoon. My name is Crystal Enquist, and I'm the Executive Director of Alaska Power Association. Alaska Power Association is the statewide organization for electric utilities. APA members provide power to a majority of Alaskans from Utqiagvik to Unalaska through the interior and south central and down the Inside Passage. APA strongly supports the deployment of electric transmission infrastructure that brings or advances the availability of reliable power to Alaskans and stimulates economic development. The Road Belt Electrical Transmission Line is such a project. Among the major benefits would be the electrical interconnection of the Copper Valley-Richardson Highway region of our state with the existing rail belt transmission grid. The Road Belt project, should it receive funding support from the federal government, would do the following: increase regional system reliability by providing redundancy to the single transmission circuit that currently links the Fairbanks area with Anchorage, allow for the integration of more renewable energy, enhance the reliability of power to military installations in the interior and south central areas, and increase economic development opportunities throughout the greater Copper Valley region. For these reasons, Alaska Power Association supports exploratory efforts for the Road Belt project, including an analysis of transmission infrastructure options to achieve increased regional reliability and more affordable electric rates for residents in the Copper Valley Richardson Highway region. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Joint Resolution 11. This concludes my written testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Sankvist. Questions? Senator Stevens?
You were first, but go right ahead. So just a question. Crystal, can you give us an idea of what the rates are in those communities you mentioned, Copper Valley and others?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I think probably the best person to answer that question is the next person testifying behind me, Travis Million. He's the CEO of Copper Valley Electric Association that serves the area from Valdez all the way over to Glen Allen in that area, so he can give you specific rate information.
Oh, thank you, Crystal. Are there other communities you mentioned? Are they all served by Copper Valley? You mentioned three or four communities, I think.
Right. There are the ones that I mentioned in my answer, sorry, through the chair, Senator Stevens, the ones that I mentioned are served by Copper Valley Electric, but there are some where the transmission line would go that are in the Golden Valley service area and MEA service area, too, I believe.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Just like to get an idea of what rates are now paying and how that would be improved. Thank you.
Sure. And I would be happy to pull that information together and provide it to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Inkes, thanks for being with us today. You mentioned both additional generation and also moving power around. Can you give us a sense of roughly, and it may be seasonal, roughly how much excess generation capacity the utilities you just talked about have that we could wheel across this line before we built new generation?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, my understanding is the proposed transmission system would have a capability of transferring at least 75 megawatts of firm power with an additional 50 megawatts of non-firm power from South Central Alaska to Fort Greeley, Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Amphis, so that's the capacity of the line. If I read this first two pages of this AEA scoping document right. You mentioned Matanuska Electric, Golden Valley, Copper Valley. Do they have that kind of capacity that they could wheel, or to get to that kind of transmission, would we need new generation?
Yeah, I would say that's probably something I would need to, through the chair, Senator Keel, I would need to get back to you on that with the answer.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, Ms. Sankvist, if you could send it to the committee, we'll distribute it. Other questions? All right. Thank you, Crystal, for your testimony. Next, we'll move on to Travis Million. Travis, if you're online, could you please, or Travis is here with us, please put yourself on the record and begin.
All right. Thank you, Chairman Rivak, for the opportunity to provide testimony on SJR 11. I'm Travis Million, CEO of Copper Valley Electric Association. Copper Valley Electric Association is located with our corporate headquarters in Glen Allen. We serve as far south as Valdez and provide service 160 miles north to about Sourdough. And then our service territory is about 100 miles east and west from Caribou Creek on the way between Glen Allen and Palmer, and as far out up the Tok Cutoff Highway as the HARP facility. So we've got a very large service territory, only about 3,800 members. So we serve very few people, but very large service territory. As mentioned earlier, this project has been looked at many times through the 1980s and 1990s. Copper Valley Electric had actually went through and looked at this project very heavily, conducted a number of feasibility studies, and at the time it was only looking at a tie between Sutton and Glen Ellen. It did not include the loop feed going up through Token eventually over to Delta. So that part of it is new with this. The other part that was mentioned is the loop feed. Currently, right now, Alaska's only transmission infrastructure basically runs from Homer to Fairbanks. We like to, in the industry, call it a long extension cord. It's just point to point, and there's no redundancy regarding the feed of that system. So this is looking at splitting that off and provide a redundant loop that goes through Glen Allen up to Tok and then over to Delta. The way I like to explain it is similar to the highway system in the state of Alaska. If you were trying to get from Anchorage to Fairbanks and the Parks Highway went down because of an earthquake or something and damaged the highway, well, you could go from Anchorage out to Palmer to Glen Allen and eventually get up to Fairbanks that way. With the electric transmission line, there is no other route. If that line were to go down due to natural disaster, there is no other way to move power from north to south. This would allow that to happen. The other part with this project is it does touch about 75% of the state's population if this route were to take place. Obviously, providing additional reliability, additional capacity, which was talked about before, and then lowering energy costs for these isolated utilities. Copper Valley Electric being one, AP&T, which serves up in Tok, Chistochina, and Solana area, is another. I know the question was asked before kind of what rates we're looking at. And I can speak for Copper Valley Electric. In the summertime, we're blessed with hydro, and our rates are typically about 18 cents a kilowatt hour. Right now, because we actually hit into winter generation much earlier this year in October than we normally would because winter came early, we're pushing way more diesel than we normally would. And because we had a 44% increase in diesel costs just from last month to this month, we're paying nearly 40 cents a kilowatt hour in the Copper River Basin and in Valdez. The other part of that is we do not receive PCE funding through the state of Alaska. So that's 40 cents a kilowatt hour is what we're paying right now. The other part of this, which was mentioned before, is the loop feed would provide electrical security and reliability for multiple DOD facilities and potentially Alyeska pipeline services as well. The other part as well is going through this and working on this this work prior to last session was we've got a lot of broad support from various communities along this routing, as well as all the utilities involved, as well as many Native corporations. As we were looking at trying to see some support for infrastructure money, we got letters of support from all these different entities throughout. So a lot of the entities that had issues with this project when it was first looked at in the 1990s are now have provided letters of support for this project the last couple of years. One of the last things I do want to point out is in 2019, the Denali Commission performed a reconnaissance study looking at this as a possible feasibility for this loop feed. I do want to leave you that the conclusions of this study, and I'm going to quote from the study, is that the recon level engineering evaluation of the road belt intertie project indicates it's technically feasible. Implementing it would increase DOD facility resilience and electric power reliability through the Alaska road system. Lastly, I do want to mention that we do understand that the Alaska Rail Belt utilities are looking at a way to add a second transmission line throughout the Rail Belt system right now. And I want to say we do support the efforts that they're putting forward on that, which would probably also include this particular project. So with that, I thank you for the opportunity for the testimony, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Questions, Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Travis. I appreciate those comments. And what an amazing difference, 18 cents to 40 cents. But I don't quite understand why. Hydro is available in the summertime, or what causes it to vary so much?
Yeah. Senator Stevens, through the chair. You're exactly right. We have plenty of water in the summertime. We have two hydro projects on our system. One's a dam project, so we back up a high mountain lake, and we can drain that throughout the year. The other is a run-a-river project. So the only time that unit can run is when water is currently flowing down the stream. So typically, May, things start breaking up and water starts flowing through that creek. And we've had years where we were still able to get generation out of that project into the end of December. This year, with things freezing up early October, we had to bring that unit offline in mid-October. And then our lake project, what we have to do is, once things start freezing up, is we have one body of water that we can slowly drain down over the entire winter. So we slowly drain that down. Typically, in a normal year, when we're starting winter generation in December, January timeframe, about 30% of our power needs we can get out of hydro throughout the entire winter months. Because winter hit earlier and we still are limited with that resource, we're only producing about 20% of our power needs out of hydro. So the rest has to come out of either our cogeneration project, which is a turbine located at the PetroStar refinery, or our multiple diesel plants.
I see. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And where is the run of river? Where is that installation?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, that's in Valdez. It's only about 2 miles from the Solomon Gulch project. It's right butted up next to the Valdez Marine Terminal.
Thank you.
Senator Thiel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Million, I guess a question about how you see this project integrating among the utilities that would whose service areas it would go through it. Would you envision owning the line through your service area? Would you have a single line owner or a tie into the Rail Belt electric reliability organization they're trying to build? Whose line would it be?
Senator Keel, through the chair. I guess at this point, that's something that would have to be determined if this project were to go forward. I would envision it being very similar to the existing Rail Belt line, to where it would probably go through some sort of an ERO system that way. I would guess that some of the maintenance costs and stuff coming through our area or the maintenance activities would be our responsibility, but none of that it hasn't gone that far into the process yet to really determine any of that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I might pose the same question to the next testifier, if it's who I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Question?
Senator Bishop.
Travis, thanks for coming today and testifying, but is it fair to say that the Copper Valley area has lost population over the years going into the valley where there's cheaper electrical rates?
Senator Bishop, through the chair, what we have seen a reduction in our residential loads, yes. So I would say that it's fair to say that people have been leaving our area, whether it's jobs, whether it's electrical rates, it's kind of hard to say. We have been blessed to where our industrial loads have picked up and large commercial loads have picked up through fish processors and things like that. But again, most of those are seasonal in the summer when our rates are very competitive.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Million, for being here to testify. We appreciate it. Next, we're going to move on to Curtis Thayer, the Executive Director of the Alaska Energy Authority. Curtis, if you are online, please put yourself on the record and begin.
Thank you very much. For the record, my name is Curtis Thayer, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Alaska Energy Authority. AEA's mission is to reduce the cost of energy in Alaska. AEA works to deliver core services and critical projects for improving energy safety, reliability, and affordability. AEA has positive impacts in almost every community in Alaska, and we were established in 1976, and we are an independent public corporation owned by the state of Alaska, and we have a board of directors of 7. To put this a little bit in context, prior to my statement, and that is AEA currently owns Bradley Lake Hydro Project, which is the largest hydro project in Alaska. It supplies the Rail Belt with about 10% of its Rail Belt energy. There is a transmission line that goes from Bradley to Soldotna, which is owned by Homer. AEA then owns a section from Soldotna, Sterling, to Quartz Creek, about a 40-mile segment through Cooper's Landing, and then it's picked up and owned by Chugach Electric north into Anchorage, and then MEA north into theirs, and then it picks up again. AEA owns 170 miles of the Energy going to Healy, and then from Healy it's picked up by Golden Valley into Fairbanks. And so in context of this line itself, we have in the past been part of studies And we did participate in the reconnaissance study that the Denali Commission did a couple of years ago. And with that, there currently is not a known project sponsor for this. This project, this road belt is technically feasible, but the estimated cost is $1 million a mile. And so that puts it at a pretty expensive piece, but not necessarily out of alignment with currently what the rail belt utilities are looking at. We're currently looking at upgrading the existing lines from 138 to 230 from Bradley into Anchorage, and then we're working with Golden Valley how to increase the power. So we're currently working with them and working with the federal delegation on with the infrastructure bill on funding for that upgrade now. Not saying that federal funding would be competing with this, but currently we have the five utilities working together with AEA on delivering power to the 550,000 Alaskans, or improving the power and efficiency. This definitely would add redundancy to the program, or to add redundancy that we do critically need going to Fairbanks. One of the concerns of the past is the size of the line is admirable, but the issue is the number of customers it would serve and the load, because it would have to run at a capacity that allows reliability and cost efficiency. Having the line needs to maintain a certain power level, and that has been a concern in the past with this line. Yes, it would be great for Greeley, but if we had a couple more anchor tenants, like some mines, that would be extremely helpful in the economics of this. So it's kind of one of those chicken and the eggs. Do you build it and they will come, or do they come and then we build? But either way, we are supportive of any type of continuing study of looking at this and working with the existing rail belt utilities of how they can provide power to that grid and how this would work into upgrading the current lines we have. But again, our focus is right now Bradley to Anchorage, because that right now is a very small line and we're not able to maximize Bradley power at this time, getting into Anchorage, let alone taking it to Glen Allen or elsewhere. So I guess that would kind of conclude it. It by no means is meant to throw cold water on the project, because it is supportive in the long-term goals, but it's just right now we need to work with our existing utilities, and I would suggest maybe at a future hearing we hear from MEA and Chugach and Golden Valley of how this works in with their existing plans, in addition to the current about $200 and $300 million worth of upgrades we hope to start in the next 18 months.
Thank you, Mr. Thayer. We've been joined by Representative Kronk. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question has to do with Bradley. There were plans to increase the water availability so it would increase the power. Has that happened, or is that something we're expecting to happen?
Right now, through the chair, Senator Stevens, that's a very good question. You have Bradley itself, which is about 10% of the power. There was a project called Battle Creek Diversion, which diverted power from a creek into Bradley Lake. That project was completed in the summer of 2020 at a cost of $47 million, and actually to date has been performing in excess of what we had anticipated it. And that is worth about 5,000 homes to electrify. Bradley currently is about 54,000 we electrify, so we added about 10%. Currently, we are looking with the rail belt utilities at what we call the Dixon diversion, which is a similar project at a larger scale of diverting another creek towards Bradley, whether that requires a different generation or using existing generation. That would increase the power from Bradley by anywhere from 24 to 30,000 homes, so almost increasing Bradley by 50%. But that we just started literally in the last 12 months looking at that study. But the cost of that would exceed $200 million. Bradley right now for a gauge is 4-cent power, which is the cheapest power on the rail belt. Natural gas is 7 to 8 cents a kilowatt, And then you have wind, like Fire Island is 9.7 a kilowatt. The actual average among the utilities with a blended cost for these costs plus their cost and transmission cost is about 20 cents on the rail belt, 24 cents by one company. One is down to 17, but the average is 20 among the utilities on the rail belt. Hopefully that answered your question regarding the Bradley expansion and future expansion possibilities.
Well, thank you, Curtis. And that's amazing to hear that 50% increase. That's be tremendous. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions, Senator Bishop?
Mr. Thayer, is the are you able to push all the power from Bradley North yet, or we need a line upgrade to maximize the full potential?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, you are correct. That is currently what we're doing with the utilities. I'm oversimplifying it, but Bradley can produce up to 120 megawatts. However, the lines that service it are 75 megawatts. The reason that was is the lines servicing Bradley were actually built going south before Bradley was built to ship power north. However, we are working with the utilities, and that's one of the reasons we acquired what we call the SSQ line in December of 2020. AEA acquired it, was to begin those upgrades. Fairbanks, for example, at some points have a 40% line loss of Bradley power, and they do receive 18% of the power from Bradley, goes to Fairbanks at 4 cents, so it is, you know, clearly cheap power. So we're working on those upgrades right now with utilities. You'll hear us use the word required project work, because if it's required project work, then the power sales agreement that was signed 30 years ago allows us to do these upgrades. The bonds for Bradley were paid off this summer, and so that's what allows us to look at using the money that was normally paid to bonds, that debt service, that we can reroute that for required project work to benefit it. And that has to go through the Department of Law, but that's the upgrades that we're talking, when I talked about $250 to $300 million. That's what we're undertaking right now.
Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Thayer, I have not had the opportunity to read the entirety of this scoping study. I wonder if I could start out by asking you sort of some questions about this project as it's hypothetically presented. And the first would be the same question I asked Mr. Million. What would be the most beneficial ownership of the line when it comes to ratepayers, whether homeowners or industry?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I think that is the big question, and that's one of our AEA's concerns would be, is it hasn't been identified of an ownership structure, because depending on how that ownership is done, whether it be a co-op or whether it be investor-owned, those are two different methodologies. They have different access to capital at different costs. It can be built at different times. And then, of course, you have the possibility of any federal infrastructure or federal dollars in there and how that is done. AEA, I'm not offering up AEA, but AEA happens to own, two interties, one at 40 miles and one at 170 miles. Not saying that we're looking at acquiring more lines unless deemed so by the legislature. But there are different structures, and that's part of the analysis that I think really needs to be done, because this would be a transmission asset, and it also is one that you will not be able to necessarily drop power into particular places along the route, because it's a transmission line. Obviously, Glen Allen, Tok, population centers you would do that in, Fort Greeley, mines, but you wouldn't be able to do it just because somebody's house is in nearby. That you want to do it where you have to drop that power. So, again, that ownership structure is something that really needs to be starting to look at for what is the most benefit for the consumers.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Thayer, another question again about the hypothetical project here. There's a very, very sort of rough order of magnitude cost estimate there in that document. And I wonder, I know in the past your authority has looked at potential renewable energy and other generation sites around the state, For the same roughly $500 million, are there other local generation opportunities that could be brought online to provide power either more efficiently or more cheaply, or would a line like this be the way, the more efficient approach?
To the chair, Senator Keel, that's something we would have to look at. Obviously, when we're looking at Bradley, that's already a state-owned asset, and bringing on additional power, we're working with utilities together, actually, in identifying other sources. Not to do a drop the mic moment, but really the one project that would move the needle the greatest on the rail belt and for Alaska would be Susitna-Wantana. It would take us almost from a rail belt average of 15% renewable to 60-65% when it was built, and bring in at, now these are 2014 cost estimates, but power at 6 cents a kilowatt, which is less than natural gas that's going up and a little bit more than Bradley. But you have that for 100 years. So it needs to be part of, the state really needs to look at that as part of the infrastructure and long-term strategy for Alaska if they want to introduce a 450 to 600 megawatt plant. And then building this line and knowing what those rates will be will I think, increase mine activity and development in that part of the state if you were to have a road belt. But then you would definitely have the power source in which to produce cheap power.
Follow up? Thanks. Mr. Chairman, I'm having a geography failure. The Susitna-Wantana, over on the Susitna side of the valley, could you get the power over to these communities we're talking about on the Matanuska side of the valley?
Through the chair, yes, you could, because you would take the existing infrastructure that's there, and whether you take that power to north to Fairbanks and drop it down onto a road belt, or taking it south into MEA's territory and then cutting across into the valley or over into the Glen Allen area, because if you had a Susitna-Wantana, they would be providing the majority of the power to Fairbanks and South Central. So looping in with a road belt would be easily done.
So, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think what I heard was no, you'd need both. Thank you.
Questions?
Just to follow up,
Senator Bishop.
At 64% renewable for 75% of the rail belt.
Thank you, Mr. Thayer. If there's anything else you'd like to add.
Thank you very much for allowing me to testify today.
We appreciate it. Mr. Millian, is there anything you would like to add? Ms. Enquist, anything you would like to add?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to open public testimony. Public testimony on SJR 11 is now open. Are there any members of the public online who would like to testify? I don't see any on the phone. I don't see any members in the room who would like to testify. All right, seeing none, we're going to close public testimony. And if there are no questions or comments from any of the committee members. All right, seeing none, I really appreciate everybody's involvement, willingness to be here to testify. It is so nice to see somebody here in person again. Mr. Millian, thank you so much for being here. It's kind of startling to me. It's been quite some time, so we appreciate the in-person interaction. For those online, thank you again very much for joining us. We're going to wrap it up. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be this coming Wednesday, January 26th, and we will be hearing two bills at the request of the governor, HB 79, an act related to sport fishing operators, and HB 85, forest land use plans. And with that, this meeting is now adjourned at 4:10 p.m.